Please do take a seat. And this morning we are thinking about when Jesus was tempted in the desert. And one of the things that Jesus did was he responded every time with words from Scripture. And there's a verse in the Psalms that talks about us knowing God's word and hiding it in our hearts. So I thought we'd learn that verse together this morning. So that everybody can see. Can you all see that? So I thought we'd say together. Are you ready? So we'll say together, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. Have you got that? Should we say it again? Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 111. Have you got it? Okay, let's try again. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 111. You got it? 11. So, 11. I can't read. So let's try again. Have we changed? There we go. Yeah. Ready? Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. Great. I'll tell you what, let's try that one. Okay. Ready? Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. Wow, you've got it. Let me just double check. Are you ready? Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Just to double check, can you stand up and turn round so that you can't see the screen in case there is something up there? Okay, are you ready? Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. Well done. Give yourselves a round of applause. So what that's really saying is when we know God's word and it becomes alive in us, actually, Mike was speaking about this the other week. It's like a double-edged sword that we can use to fight against the temptations and the battle that we are so often in. And that's about learning and knowing God's word, his word, the Bible, and knowing it in our hearts and lives. So I hope today each of us will begin again to, as it were, store God's word up in our hearts and remember it so that we can use it when we're faced with temptation. Lord, we thank you that you are a good, good Father. Thank you that you love us, and that's who we are, that we are people that are loved by you. And Lord, thank you that you call us deeper into relationship with you. And we pray today that our relationship with you may be deepened as we get to know you more and more through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. As we continue in prayer, would you like to sit and just maybe reflect on those things that we need to be forgiven for? So we confess together and say, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So may Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring us his pardon and his peace, now and forever. Amen. We have our reading from Luke's Gospel.
The Gospel reading comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, and this can be found on page 78 of the New Testament section of your church Bibles. Jesus returned from the Jordan, full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. In all that time, he ate nothing, so that he was hungry when it was over. The devil said to him, "If you are God's son, order this stone to be turned into bread." But Jesus answered, "The scripture says, man cannot live on bread alone." Then the devil took him up and showed him in a second all the kingdoms of the world. "I will give you all this power and all this wealth," the devil told him. "It has all been handed over to me, and I can give it to anyone I choose. All this will be yours, then, if you worship me." Jesus answered, "The scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and set him on the highest point of the temple and said to him, "If you are God's son, throw yourself down from here. For the scripture says, God will order his angels to take good care of you. It also says they will hold you up with their hands so that not even your feet will be hurt on the stones." But Jesus answered, "The scripture says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil finished tempting Jesus in every way, he left him for a while. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. May we pray. Father, so we ask that you would give us ears that are open to hear what you have to say to us today, and hearts that are ready to receive. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At Alpha on Wednesday night, there were two of our guests who said to me that they had given up alcohol and that they were doing really okay, considering that Lent only started that morning. That wasn't, as it were, a fantastic achievement at that point. And they were saying that they hoped that they could last through Lent and not be tempted to consume alcohol after they'd made the decision not to. Somebody else that I visited this week confessed that they are tempted every time they go into Sainsbury's or one of those stores to buy donuts, because that's what their delight is, to eat lovely donuts. Is this what the temptation of Jesus was all about? not eating donuts, not turning stones into bread? Was it all about provision? Was it all about power or position? When the devil said to Jesus, you know, look, here are the kingdoms of the world that I can give you if you'll only bow down and worship me. Was it about protection when the devil said to him, if you throw yourself off the spire of the temple, the pinnacle, and throw yourself down, doesn't the Bible say that God will protect you and scoop you up? Was it about protection? I don't think so. What I see here is primarily, in the first instance, is about coming to Jesus and saying to him, if you are the Son of God. If you turn back in your Bibles to the previous chapter, what will you see? You'll see the baptism of Jesus when Jesus is baptized by John in the Jordan River and the heavens are torn open. And the voice of God says, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And then what we see is Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, is led into this place, I think, of spending time with his Father. But as he does that, he also encounters this temptation from the devil. And the devil comes and he challenges Jesus right at the very core of what God has just said to his Son. The Father has said to the Son, you are my Son in whom I am well pleased. If you are the Son of God, then prove it. If you are the Son of God, prove it. And what happens is I see here that the devil uses the current vulnerability of Jesus to try and get him to prove who he is. And what's Jesus' vulnerability at this moment in time? Well, he's been fasting for 40 days. How hungry would you be if you'd fasted for 40 days? And right at this moment of vulnerability, the evil one, the devil, comes and he challenges Jesus, if you are the Son of God. Well, of course, in many ways, it seems a logical thing to do, doesn't it? You're hungry, you've fasted, you need food. Well, why not? You know, I think so often the devil comes to us with logical arguments. But so often what he's doing is attacking the very person that we are, that God has said we are, in order to undermine who we are in Christ Jesus. That's why I love that we sang that song earlier, who am I that the greatest King should welcome me? I am who you say I am. Because what the devil does is he comes and he whispers something different to what God says we are. And what does God say we are? If we've given our lives to him, he says, he whispers in our ear, or maybe shouts it, you're my child. You're loved. You're forgiven. You're cleansed. You're holy. You're holy. Do you know you're holy? That's who God says you are. But so often the devil will come and he'll start to whisper things in your ear that takes away from what God says you are. We're about halfway through the Freedom in Christ course. And I'm sure if you speak to those people who are on it, they would encourage you to attend the next course when we run it. And it's about some of it is about the teaching of who we are in Jesus Christ. And they've given us some little cards to remind us who we are in Christ. And on that card, there's a title that says that we're secure. That there's no condemnation. Comes from Romans, doesn't it? There's no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. That we can't be separated from the love of God. That we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And we can be secure in that knowledge of who we are in Jesus Christ. The next heading is that we're significant. I wonder how many of you today feel that you're insignificant. You're not. That's a lie of the devil. And you can refute that lie and you can begin to believe the truth. Do you know how significant you are to God? There's a cross that Jesus says, if you were the only person alive, I would die for you because I love you so much. That's how significant you are to God. He loves you. We've got a good, good Father. And that we're loved by Him. That's who I am. That's who you are. And God calls you deeper still into that love that He has for you. You're significant to God. In fact, the Bible says that you're the temple of God. You're the dwelling place in which He lives. Last week at Encounter, we were looking at the tabernacle and how God's presence was in that Holy of Holies. And that was such a significant place that actually only once a year could the high priest go into that place. And then only with the sacrifice of animals and through the ritual cleansing. But then Hebrews says that since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by a new and living way through the body of Jesus and His blood shed on the cross for us, let us draw near to God with full assurance of faith. And we have access into the presence of God. But God then says that He lives in us by His Spirit. We become that tabernacle, that dwelling place for God to live by His Spirit. The New Testament says that we're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Jesus is in heaven and He's got a seat next to Him for you. In His presence. I don't know if it's right next to Him, because Jesus said it's not His decision to choose who sits on His right or His left. But we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We have significance. We're accepted. We're children of God. In fact, Jesus says to His disciples, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Because a servant doesn't know his master's business, but a friend does. And we're invited into know the heart of God and what's on His heart. We're accepted. We've been purchased by His blood. You are a saint. You are a saint. You may not be in a stained glass window, but you're a saint. Yet the devil will come along and he will try to undermine those truths. And he will use those access points where we're vulnerable. Matt, as I was talking to Matt about this, he's going to be using with his youth the word halt. When we're hungry, when we're angry, when we're lonely, or we're tired. They so often become access points for the devil to come round and to tempt us to sin, to lead us into stuff that's not of God. And the devil's tactics are really that he comes around one ear and he says, why don't you do this? And then what he does is he gets you into a place where you think, well, it doesn't really matter, so I'll do it. Then he pops around to the other ear and he says, you, a Christian? Look at what you've just done. You can't be a Christian. We see the exposition, the expose of him, really, in Genesis, do we not? When he comes to Adam and Eve, and we see the way the devil operates. And so perhaps in that moment of time when Jesus is in the desert, maybe he's coming to him and questions him, if you are the Son of God. And maybe if we were in that position, it would be also questioning God's provision for us. Well, I'm hungry. How is God going to provide for my needs, for my finances, where we're going to live? And not only in the temptation is he getting us to doubt who we are, but he gets us to doubt that God has said he will meet all our needs according to his riches in glory. Lois asked me last week a very poignant question. She said, how much of the service could you have conducted without God showing up? Because we begin to believe that we have to do it ourselves and we can rely on our own resources and not rely on the promises of who God is in us and through us. And Jesus responds from Scripture. When the devil tempts him, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What on earth does that mean? I'm hungry. How will God's word meet my hunger? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's a quotation from Deuteronomy. It's a quotation from when God had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, as we saw last week. And he provides food for them where there is no food. He provides manna, bread. He provides quail as meat. He provides water from a rock. I wouldn't be very impressed if I came home for tea and Lois said that for dinner tonight, I'm going to talk to you. But you see, when Jesus speaks, when God speaks, it's different. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The power of God's word created something from nothing. And when we trust the power of God's word, he can take our nothingness and make it something. And God's word, so much of it is recorded in Scripture about what he will do for us, and we can trust and rely on his promises. Hebrews says that God made all things and sustains all things by his powerful hands, thoughts? No, by his powerful word. And Jesus knew that. And so Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 63, says that his words are spirit and life. Mike spoke the other week at Encounter, about how the Word of God is a double-edged sword, and how that speaking out the Word of God actually has an impact in our lives and in the world around us. It's not just enough to know it, but we're called to speak out the Word of God. Mike's talk, I think, is online. Do listen to it. And so the devil comes against not only Jesus' identity, but he comes against, too, the Word of God. And we see that so clearly in Adam and Eve, when the serpent comes to Eve and says, "Did God really say? Did God really mean that?" "He didn't really mean that. And actually, he's trying to hide some stuff from you. Yeah, and if you just take that fruit and eat it, you'll be as wise as he is, knowing good from evil." And what Satan does is he doesn't present before you the consequences of the temptation. I wonder, speaking to some friends of ours who have gone through drug addiction, the temptation to have the high, never getting told about what the consequence of the sin would be. And we see the evidence of that in so many ways, don't we, that Satan actually lies to us and tells us inconsistencies and untruths or half-truths. "Oh, go on. You know, just trying cocaine won't hurt you. Being casual about sex won't cause you any damage. It's just for your enjoyment. God is trying to be a killjoy." Actually, when you think about it, Satan has a very short list of things that he'll tempt you with. But God has given us so much position, privilege, and so many things for us to enjoy. And yet Satan hangs those few little things in front of us time and time again to try and tempt us away from knowing who we are in God. Let me skip to the end because my time is running out. How do we deal with temptation? I'm encouraged to see that it says in the New Testament that no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure under it. See, I think it's significant that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, into that place where he was tempted. And Bill Johnson says that God has equipped us with everything that we need for fighting the battle. That's his Holy Spirit and the promise of a way out under temptation. It's in his power that we can overcome temptation. And Peter, reflecting on that, says that God has given us everything that we need for life and godly living. And that's in his Spirit. Spirit that lives in us, and when we hide God's word in our hearts. "Your word have I hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against you." How well do you know your Bible? Do you read it every day? Speak to God every day? Ask him to fill you with his Spirit every day? And just to say lastly, we may fail and fall, but that doesn't make us sinners. It just makes us saints who sin. We may fail and we may fall, but that doesn't make us sinners. It just makes us saints who have sinned and can come in confession and repentance and be cleansed and renewed. May we pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have made us your children. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be constantly filled with your Spirit and full of your word, so that we might be able to resist the devil in your power and in your strength. And we thank you, Lord, for the promise that when we resist, the devil will flee from us. So fill us with your Spirit and empower us to live for you today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Adele is going to come and lead us in our prayers.
Father, our source of life, we reach out with joy to grasp your hand. Let us walk more readily in your ways. Guide us in your gentle mercy, for left to ourselves we cannot do your will. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are not always eager to do your will. We'd often much rather do our own will. Please be with us on this Lenten journey and help us to remember that your own Spirit can guide us in the right direction. We want to fix our weaknesses, but the task often seems overwhelming. We know that with your help, anything can be done. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge your love and know that without you, we can do nothing. Hear our prayers during this holy season of Lent. Nourish us with your word of life, and let us be one with you in love and prayer. Fill our hearts with your love, and keep us faithful to the gospel of Christ. Give us grace to rise above our human weaknesses, and give us new life by your sacraments. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for our church. When we read our Bibles, we notice how St. Paul prayed such rich, kingdom-saturated prayers for churches. We ask that we learn to pray fervently and consistently in both our private and corporate prayer for all our local churches and to encourage others to do so too. Father, we particularly pray for unity amid diversity. We ask that faithful elders would use scripture to train us to do the work of ministry. We pray for a hunger for studying the gospel so that we can guide and guard one another in it, and for the preaching of your word to be biblically careful and Holy Spirit imbued. We ask that our church prayers would be infused with biblical ambitions, honesty and humility, that adults would work to disciple teenagers, that we would share the gospel this week and see more conversions. We pray that our financial giving would be faithful, as well as joyful, consistent, and sacrificial. We ask for strength to take the gospel to places it's never been, and to be good and do good in our workplaces this week. Dear Lord, we give thanks for our leaders and all the members of our church at St. Augustine's. We pray for continued blessings with Alpha and ask you to protect all those participating and helping as the course approaches the Holy Spirit outing on the 16th of March. Thank you, Father, that we are able to run a parenting course this month, and we ask you to bless this together with all our other mission work we have been called to do through the love we have for Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we pray today for the leaders of our nation, that they would have wisdom and insight as they continue to negotiate and plan for Brexit. We pray for the civil servants working with elected officials that they would use their expertise and good judgment during this process. We pray for those planning and preparing for the practicalities of Brexit and the changes it will bring. Father, you are our steadfast foundation as we face the unknown. And where there is division in our neighbourhoods, may we offer hope and reconciliation through the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray you would protect our towns and cities and all other nations across the world from further acts of knife and gun crimes. Pour down your Holy Spirit and fill our streets with peace. For those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, would you draw close to them and bring them comfort? We pray that these recent attacks would not lead to fear, uncertainty, or division, and may they not become a catalyst for further acts of hate. Thank you for men and women who risk their lives on behalf of others. Would you empower the police and emergency service to protect us from further acts of violence? Lord, we look forward to the day when weapons will be beaten into plowshares and pray for a foretaste of that day right now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And today we woke up to terrible news for the plane crash. We pray for the 149 passengers and air crew that were on board Ethiopian Airlines flying to Kenya. We pray for the emergency services. Oh Jesus, please be in the hearts and lives of all those who are suffering. Bring healing to those who are enduring pain. Bring value to those who are disregarded. Bring joy to those in great sorrow. Bring hope to those who have nothing to live for. Bring provision to those who are hungry. Bring shelter to those without a home. Bring community to those who are lonely. Please, Lord, use and prompt us to be your hands of love across a hurting world. Accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So we pray together. Please sit if you would like. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Just as we come to the end of the service today, I think there's cake available because it's Blake's birthday. Blake's hiding at the back, but if you've got sweets in your pocket or something, or you just want to go up to him and bless him, then he would love that. But he's—I'm not sure if he's bought cake or.
Yeah.
So do thank Blake for providing birthday cake. On a slightly more serious note, just that sense earlier as I was speaking about whether or not you sense that you're insignificant rather than significant to God. I would want to encourage you to come forward and to renounce the lie. Have somebody pray with you to renounce that lie that you're insignificant and to receive the truth that in God's eyes you are very significant. That you can know his security in your life today. And that you can know that you're accepted by him. So the prayer ministry team will come forward as we sing their last song, and would invite you to come and receive prayer. So let's just pray. Father, thank you that your cross stands above everything, and that through your cross you have made us people who are called, accepted, forgiven, secured, and significant to you. Would you help us to know that truth in our lives today through your cross? Come, Holy Spirit, and work in us and through us. Father, I just want to pray that by your Spirit you would come now in power. And Lord, just where there are people who feel insignificant before you, would you speak into their hearts right now of who they are in Jesus Christ? Come, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that for each one of us today, we may know with a certainty who we are in Jesus Christ. So may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you now. Remain with you this day and always. Amen. So go in peace and love to serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.